Welcome back to the FPL Draft Hub podcast, looking back on Game Week 5 and ahead to Game Week 6. Welcome back, Draft Fantasy Football managers. Premier League football is back and normality resumes. Straightforward podcast today, looking back on the games in Game Week 5 and then looking ahead to Game Week 6. Going to have a look through some of the bookies odds as usual, go through some of the current top point scorers. This week I'm also going to do a slightly new feature, which is looking at some of the different trade values. And then at the end, we'll choose our two feature picks, which is the Nicholas Anelka Mercenary of the Week and the Raheem Sterling Rising Star. But let's get into the games. First game of the weekend saw Liverpool host Newcastle. Fairly regulation win for Liverpool, coming out 3-1. Two goals from Mane and a goal from Salah. Firmino with a couple of assists and an assist for Robertson. Willems with the goal for Newcastle, cracking goal with an assist from Atsu. But for Liverpool, all of their front three looks in fine form. Mentioned Gigi Wijnaldum last week after a good couple of games for the Netherlands, but it didn't really look like featuring much in terms of an attacking return for Liverpool this week. And none of the other midfielders really stood out either from a fantasy football perspective. Not really a game to be judging Newcastle on. Thought they held out fairly well in the first half, but once Liverpool got going, they were pretty comfortable in the end. So haven't really learnt much there from a fantasy football point of view. Next, Burnley went to Brighton. That game finished 1-1. Goals from Mopay and Hendrick. Thought Mopay and Murray linked up really well up front. Obviously, Trossard's injured, and they had a front three of Mopay, Murray and March. Solly March got into some good positions too. He eventually set up Mopay to volley in the opener. He took that really well. Mopay and Murray actually had lots of chances early on in that game. Pope made quite a few good saves. Ashley Barnes seemed to be coming a lot deeper in that game to get the ball and didn't really seem like much of a goal threat. And in the end, Brighton were unlucky not to hang on and get a result there. Good goal for Hendrick at the end, but Brighton would be really disappointed that they let it slip so late on. And they're really going to have to try and find a way to convert some of these good performances into Premier League points. Nobody particularly stood out for Burnley, but they do have a nice run of fixtures, so I will touch on some of those players later on. Next game was Man United against Leicester. Really thought this was a game that Leicester could go and get a result in, but Man United ground out a good 1-0 win. Maddison had a really good chance early on with a half volley in the box, but hit it straight at David De Gea. They then conceded a fairly soft penalty as Soyuncu bundled over Rashford, I think it was. Probably was a penalty, as I said, quite soft, but then Rashford made no mistake in tucking it away. Fairly quiet game otherwise, with a few clear-cut chances here and there. Rashford hit the bar from a free kick in the second half. Worrying again for owners of Eze Perez, such as myself, as he started another game sat on the bench. Gray getting the nod to start this week. Certainly one to carry on, hanging on to if you're in a sort of 8, 9, 10 man league, and not really somebody with great trade value currently, so just someone we're going to have to sit on and hope find some form. Next game was Sheffield United against Southampton. Wasn't really sure how this one would pan out. Southampton ended up getting a good result with a 1-0 win away from home. Che Adams again looked like a cursed man in front of goal, missing two really good opportunities to score, hit the post with one of them. Gineppo added another really silky goal to go in his emerging Premier League scrapbook, fending off a foul before then skilling up most of the Sheffield defence and calmly rolling the ball home into the far corner. He looks a real prospect and seems the one most likely to score for Southampton at the moment, especially in the absence of Nathan Redmond, so could be one to keep an eye on. Billy Sharp was rightly sent off late on, which simplifies the options Sheffield United are likely to field up front. But from a fantasy football perspective, you shouldn't really be looking anywhere near that Sheffield front line anyway. Next game was Spurs against Crystal Palace. Comfortable 4-0 win for Tottenham. Really good performance. All goals came in the first half. Two goals from Son. Scored the opener with a great long through ball for Alderweireld. and then he scored a fantastic far post volley off an Aria cross. Lamella latched onto a Kane cross, and PVA also scored an own goal for the visitors, again off a Serge Aurier cross. Much better performance from Spurs. I knew that they'd use the international break well and put it to good use, so the players, as they scattered across the globe to play for their countries, really cleared the minds and drew a line under all of the different transfer and contract disputes that have been rumbling on over the summer and seem to have put their heads down. First choice back four together for the first time in the Premier League this season. I think Poch will find it difficult to disrupt that now, but the fullbacks are always a rotation risk. And Serge Aurier really came in and played very well. Essentially played like a right winger, but didn't have much work to do defensively, which allowed him that time and space. Son obviously again showing his class with the two excellent goals, but Aurier is definitely the one to highlight here from a fantasy football perspective and could be one in a lot of draft leagues who still sat in the waiver pile. Next we had Wolves against Chelsea. Again, wasn't really sure how this game would pan out, but Chelsea ended up comfortably winning this game 5-2 in the end. Lots of goals. The Wolves' goals came from a Tammy Abraham own goal and Cotroni, and Chelsea saw Abraham get a hat-trick. Tomori opened the scoring with a cracking goal, and Mason Mount also got a late consolation. As I said, Tomori with an absolute screamer to open the scoring. Just saw it rolling towards him and just side-footed a great, great goal into the far corner. Tammy latched on to a loose ball in the box to fire home for his first, but his second and third goals were real quality. Showing great movement in the box to get ahead of the centre-back to head in the second. And to complete the hat-trick was a great solo goal. But I think Connor Cody at the back really defended like a mannequin for that one, but won't take anything away from Abraham's hat-trick. Mount had a great chance to make it 5-0 when he rounded Patricio, but was only able to find the side netting. As I said, he did eventually get his goal in injury time with a nice turn in the box, but again, wasn't really made to work very hard for it. Tammy looks like a seasoned Premier League striker at the moment, and depending on how you think about it, if you've got him, could be one that you look to move on and trade for. Good trade value at the moment, but I would be inclined to hang on to him and ride this wave. Mount continued to impress as well, but it definitely seems like there's room in this team for Callum Hudson-Odoi to come in when he's fit. Wolves, along with Watford, still remain winless, look poor at the back and poor up front. Something needs to change. They may have to forget about the Europa League and allow the second string to take those Thursday night trips to Bratislava, because none of the Wolves players really look like appealing fantasy football options at the moment. Next to the later game on Saturday, and the surprise of the season so far result-wise, as Norwich got a great 3-2 win against Manchester City, fully deserved the win, and proves there's no such thing as an easy game in the Premier League. All the usual suspects featured for Norwich: Pukki with a goal and an assist, Buendia with two assists, Cantwell with a goal, McLean actually opened the scoring with a header from a corner. Similarly, the usual suspects for Manchester City: Aguero scored from a Bernie Silva assist. Slightly less likely, and Rodri got a goal. Took it very well late on as Manchester City were trying to find a way back in the game. But as I said, Norwich were full value for their win. Said on the last pod, I'd rather see them set up and, you know, try to keep things tight rather than just go and get smashed by City. But they proved everybody wrong, including myself, by setting out to play their game and ended up reaping the rewards. But when Dia impressed the most, but, you know, Pukki and Cantwell also continued to shine. Sam Byram had an excellent game at right back, coming in for the injured Max Ahrens, looked really solid. And Manchester City defensively looked all over the place. Stones is now out for over a month after picking up a training ground injury, and they've really looked poor at the back since Laporte's injury a few weeks ago. Norwich have some good fixtures coming up. They play Burnley, Palace, Villa and Bournemouth in their next four. Could be something that you throw into the mix if you're trying to trade away some of these assets whilst their trade value is high. But if you fancy that run, it's probably just worth hanging on to them. On to Sunday then, and Bournemouth beat Everton 3-1. Two goals from Callum Wilson and a goal from Ryan Fraser, with Calvert-Lewin getting the goal for Everton. Everton with a dreadful run in away games. I think they've won 6 out of their last 40. Really terrible stat, like a completely different team away from home. Obviously, Calvert-Lewin got his goal, but I do feel it's only a matter of time before Keane claims that spot up top. Some of the defending from Everton in that game was really poor. I'm not convinced by Michael Keane at all. I think he's always got a mistake or a lapse in concentration in him. And Guilfi continues to just ghost around games at the moment and really needs to sharpen up in order to reclaim the form we know he can produce. Another entertaining game as Watford and Arsenal drew 2-2. Seemed like it was going to be a fairly comfortable victory for Arsenal as they went 2-0 up fairly early on with 2 goals from Aubameyang. But it really was a tale of 2 halves as Watford came out in the second half like a completely different team. Ended up amassing 31 shots in total in the game, a club record for them in the Premier League. But it doesn't take away that that first half performance was very poor. They looked below par defensively. Aubameyang wasn't made to work particularly hard for his goals, so he did take them well and has started the season really well with 5 goals and an assist already. But Watford took good advantage of some defensive errors at the back. Saar and Pereira came off the bench and impressed, Pereira going on to take advantage of a David Luiz dangly leg to win and then convert the penalty. Watford play Manchester City next, but then have a decent run of games to allow Flores to get some points that fall off the new manager merry-go-round. But the take-home from an Arsenal point of view really is that aside from Aubameyang, there aren't really any obvious fantasy football assets. Leno's probably the only person I'd go for defensively, but they do have an excellent run of fixtures, and the likes of Bellerin, Holding and Tierney are all close to fitness and may see their defensive fortunes change. And to round off the game week, on Monday Night Football, Villa and West Ham saw out a 0-0 draw. Masuaku sent off was really the only thing of note in that game. So a fairly dull game. Wesley had a couple of chances to score in the first half, but didn't make the most of them. The game opened up a lot when Masuaku was sent off. He was probably quite unlucky to get the second yellow card there. Haller looked a handful up front for West Ham, really held the ball up well and worked hard. Lanzini and Anderson again showed glimpses of the quality we know they've got. And Noble seemed to be the one getting into the dangerous positions, which is far from ideal. And Grealish stood out for Aston Villa. I think his days of championship football are long behind him, regardless of how Aston Villa get on this year, but not really a fantasy football option. And nobody else particularly stood out for Aston Villa. Looking ahead to game week 6 then, some interesting fixtures. We've got Friday night football, so the deadline for waivers and trades is slightly earlier this week. And Friday night game is South Coast Derby, Southampton against Bournemouth, which should be entertaining. Could be a good opportunity for some of the players that haven't really shone yet to stand out. And the second game, the early kickoff on Saturday, sees Spurs go to Leicester. Should be a good game. These games have tended to be a good fixture for the last couple of seasons. Burnley against Norwich, not really sure how to call that one. Can see both teams scoring goals. Everton at home to Sheffield United. Can't see anything past an Everton win there. Likewise, Manchester City at home to Watford. I think they'll be keen to make amends after the performance against Norwich. Newcastle against Brighton again is a game hard to call. On paper, you'd have to say Brighton are the better team, but the way they've been playing lately, those performances haven't necessarily been converting into results, and Newcastle at home will really dig in and look to grind out something there. Next game is Crystal Palace against Wolves. Could be a nice opportunity for Wolves to get their first win on the board. Man United go to West Ham. Should be a tight game. Arsenal hosts Aston Villa. I expect Arsenal to win that one comfortably. And then the marquee game of the weekend sees Chelsea against Liverpool. So based on that, onto some waiver targets ahead of game week 6, starting with the goalkeepers, and I've picked a couple out. The first one is Tim Krul for Norwich. As I've said before, I think Norwich will likely end up with the worst or one of the worst defensive records in the league. But they do have a tidy run of fixtures, as I just said, against the likes of Burnley, Palace, Villa and Bournemouth. Not teams that have been exactly free-flowing scoring-wise. So could be a chance of one or two clean sheets there, but will certainly attract plenty of save points too. And in that vein, the second goalkeeper I've highlighted is Ben Foster. Watford bouncing back, always good value for shots against. Foster seems to stack up quite a lot of save points. Say, play Manchester City this weekend, so we'll probably get peppered quite a lot. And then have a decent run playing the likes of Wolves, Sheffield United, Spurs and Bournemouth. So could be one to pick up if you are looking for a goalkeeper. On to the defenders then. The main one I've picked out is Serge Aurier, who I mentioned before. Looked really good in his first Premier League outing. Definitely more assured than Kyle Walker-Peters. And I think even with the inevitable rotation, it's time to jump off Kyle Walker-Peters if you have him. And if you can bring Aurier in, it would be a good like-for-like replacement. The defence is starting to look a lot tighter, especially if Alderweireld and Vertonghen carry on partnership at centre-back. And with Ndombele and Winks starting to look a bit better in midfield as well, can see Spurs getting a lot tighter at the back. Next to highlight is the Burnley defence in general, who I think I mentioned on the last podcast as well because of their nice run of fixtures. So the next 6-7 games see them play Norwich, Villa, Everton, Leicester, Chelsea, Sheffield and West Ham. So if you are streaming a defender spot or you've got a couple of injuries, you should be able to pick up one of those starting defenders for Burnley, whether that's Tarkowski, Ben Mee, Eric Peters or Loughton, either any of those, you should get a few clean sheets over the next couple of months. Now some defensive players to avoid, and one in particular I've picked out is Vestergaard for Southampton. Got a decent points total already, so will be quite high up on the free agents list in terms of total points, mainly because he's picked up a goal and Southampton have got a couple of clean sheets. Could be one to bring in for Friday's game against Bournemouth, but after that, Southampton have a really horrible run of fixtures where they play Tottenham, Chelsea, Wolves, Leicester, Manchester City, Everton and Arsenal in consecutive games, and could easily see them going winless throughout that run. He's done well on bonus points as well, so as I say, if you do think Southampton could get a clean sheet on Friday, maybe worth bringing in for the week, but wouldn't consider him beyond that. And the other ones I wanted to highlight are the Arsenal defence in general, who I would avoid. It's likely that one or two of them are available and you could be tempted to bring them in. I would allow the likes of Bellerin, Holding and Tierney to come back, get a run back in the team. I really wouldn't break my neck to jump on these guys too early. I think Arsenal have a lot of defensive issues which go beyond the four guys they pick at the back. But despite that, they do have some excellent fixtures coming up. Apart from playing Man United in game week 7, they don't play another top 6 team until December. So generally a good team to try and pick up an asset from if you're inclined, but I would steer clear of their defensive assets. On to the midfielders then, and the first two I want to highlight are Cantwell and Buendia. Now really proven quality, and similar to Pukki, will generally be involved in the goals for Norwich. And Norwich look like they should score a fair few. Unlikely that they're going to be available to pick up on the waiver list now. I think most people have cottoned on and picked them up in the last few weeks, but if they are there, I would definitely grab them. Next is Moussa Dzeneppo for Southampton, who's managed to get 2 goals from playing just 126 minutes of football so far. Could return this week against Bournemouth. Would expect he's now earned himself a starting place in the team. But as I said when I was talking about Vestergaard, they do have a difficult run of fixtures after that. So maybe just one to keep an eye on, but it would be interesting to see how he does with a bit more of a run in the team. And the final midfielder to highlight is Johan Gudmundsson. Great fixtures for Burnley coming up, as I mentioned. Is currently an injury doubt, but we know from prior seasons he's a streaky player. It tends to pop up in a few teams over the course of the year, and it could be your turn to bring him in for a few weeks. On to the forwards then. Always difficult to find some top quality forwards from the waiver pile, especially a few weeks into the season. Most of your nailed on starters have been picked up, but the two I wanted to highlight were Deeney and Cutrone. So Troy Deeney, obviously injured at the moment, not due to come back until after the next international break in a few weeks. It could be one to keep an eye on, and maybe one to go early on and park on the bench for a few weeks if your team looks fairly lightweight up front, because Deeney will certainly add some weight there. And then Cutrone for Wolves, obviously third choice striker, where they're playing a front pairing. Managed to get a goal off the bench against Chelsea, was a fairly scrappy one, but probably one just to keep half an eye on. Really need to assess how Wolves manage that rotation with the Europa League. He may see more Premier League minutes, or if they continue to struggle in the league like they have done, he could become a dedicated cup player to allow Jota and Jimenez a decent run in the league. So just one to monitor. Next, as I said, is a slightly new segment looking at trade values. So I'm sure in most of your leagues now there'll be some trades that have already gone down, people trying to strike a deal. And obviously you're always looking to sell high and buy low. So I'm not going to go into too much detail here. It's more of just a list because trades are so subjective and there's so many different implications and outcomes. But just wanted to highlight a few players who you could consider selling high whilst they're flying at the moment, and then a list of players you might consider buying low. So some players that are struggling who you might try and poach off another manager whilst their stock's fairly low. So ones you could consider selling high: Ashley Barnes is probably top of the list here. Had a flying start, but can't see him sustaining it. Tammy Abraham and Timu Pukki are ones to consider based on your personal preference. Personally, I would hang on to them, but you could see who you could get for them. David Silva at City is another one you could look to sell high. He's done pretty well for the first six games, but his spot in the team looks like it could be in jeopardy, especially as the cup games start to come in. And finally, Buendia for Norwich is another one you might look to sell high and get a more seasoned, consistent point scorer in. So on the flip side, some of the players you might look to bring in who haven't done so well so far, and a lot of these were names that I mentioned in the last podcast: Gylfi Sigurdsson for Everton, Gerard Deulofeu for Watford. You may see him bouncing back now that they've got the new manager. Wilfried Zaha and Luka Milivojevic, both struggling to... I don't think either of them have got an attacking return yet, but it won't only be a matter of time before that changes. Alexander Lacazette's another one. If you can afford to carry him with his injury, maybe someone that another manager's looking to offload if their team's got a few injuries. And then Diogo Jota for Wolves is another one who's struggled so far, but probably will find some form once the season gets going. On to the bookies odds for game week 6 then. Starting with the clean sheets, I'm not going to go through all of them because I'll post the full list on the pod notes on Twitter. Bookies not favouring Watford to keep out Manchester City, just a 5% chance of keeping a clean sheet there. Aston Villa also given just an 11% chance of keeping out Arsenal. Likewise, Chelsea at home with just a 17% chance of keeping out Liverpool. But some high probabilities to pick out: Everton at 48% to keep a clean sheet. Arsenal at 44%, which sounds very high to me. And from the rest of the games, there aren't many high probabilities to keep clean sheets around. The likes of Southampton, Bournemouth, Leicester, Spurs, Newcastle, Brighton, Palace and Wolves, West Ham and Man United, nobody with a clean sheet probability of more than 30, 40% there. In terms of anytime goal scorers, all the usual suspects at the top: Aguero, Sterling, Jesus, Aubameyang, Interestingly, Pepe's rated at 52% to score any time this weekend. Barnes and Pukki are at 50%, Kane on 49%. Many of the other usual suspects, and then just to pick a couple more notable ones out, Che Adams or Danny Ings are given a 44% chance of scoring against Bournemouth in the Friday night game. And Callum Wilson given just a 36% chance of scoring in that fixture too. So your current FPL top point scorers after five game weeks. Teemu Pukki leads the way on 49 points. Aguero on 46. Salah on 45. Tammy Abraham on 42. Mane on 40. Aubameyang and Sterling on 39. KDB on 37. And Firmino on 35. On to the feature picks then. The Nicholas Anelka mercenary of the week this week is Che Adams. Unlucky so far, will be a great time for him to step up. Showcase game, Friday night football, South Coast derby. Good chance other managers in your leagues may have lost patience with him already. If he's there, I would grab him and it could light his season up. Next, to add to our list of the Raheem Sterling rising stars, I'm going to select Moussa Dineppo, also of Southampton. Real definition of a rising star. Excited to see what he can do with more game time against some tougher opposition and see whether he can add to his already impressive two goals. That's it for this podcast then. A reminder that the waiver deadline is 7 p.m. on Thursday the 19th due to that Friday night game. And obviously the final deadline for free agents is 7 o'clock on Friday. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, then please subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on. Follow us on Twitter at FPL Draft Hub Pod. Best place to get hold of us there and join in the conversation. FPLDraftHub.com is now live, so you can sign up there to get unique stats for your team in the context of your draft league. One of the best features on there to log in over the weekend is the live table. So as the goals and assists come in, you can see how your table is affected. All of our blogs go on there. The podcast notes are on there. Definitely somewhere to check out if you're a draft fantasy football player on the official format of the game. So best of luck for your waivers and trades. As always, stay shook and I'll be back in your ears next week.